I'm Confucius, and you are now listening to The Breaks Podcast. These are highlights from our Saturday night hip-hop show on KUTX 989 in Austin, Texas. My co-host Fresh and I are native Austinites, and we love talking hip-hop, Texas hip-hop, hip-hop history, and what's going on right now. And just so you know, the opinions expressed in this podcast are our own and do not necessarily reflect the position of KUTX Austin.
We here to take over the airways, no matter where you're from or where you stay.
Welcome to another exciting episode of The Breaks. As always, I'm Fresh.
I'm Confucius.
And, it's been a week.
Well, yeah, considering. So, you know, if you didn't already know, we are located in Austin, Texas, which means obviously we're in the state of Texas. And if anybody's been watching the national news, you know, the Texas has been in our Hot Wheels of a governor have been making all the mistakes.
Wait, time out. Did you call him Hot Wheels?
Yeah, he's currently being called Hot Wheels. You know, reopened our state, beginning of May, started reopening everything.
Yeah, somewhere around that.
You know, the first phase, I think, was beginning of May. And then by the time the second phase with the bars and, you know, everything opened, it was around Memorial Day. And of course, when it first happened, you know, our governor was touting, like, oh, look at these great things I've done. And look how there'll be more people with COVID cases. That's because we're doing more testing. And for a minute, it looked like that. I was like, yeah, it didn't look like people are getting sick. It's just that, you know, finally we were able to identify that people are sick.
If they had COVID or not.
But boy, a few weeks later, that was not the case.
A firestorm.
God, everybody was getting sick. It went from, you know, it's funny when the COVID thing really started taking off in this country. I saw a lot of people on my social media saying, like, oh, I don't know anybody with it. Like, is it really that big of a deal? Ain't like that no more.
Now I see people, I think I've seen at least three people say, a family member of theirs has it, and I mean, this COVID is nothing to play with now. I was like, oh.
It wasn't nothing to play with a few months ago.
Now, nothing to play with. Yeah, now, but I think we've said that at the beginning, like, people aren't going to really take it serious until it starts directly affecting them. Until they find out that somebody they know or close to has it, that's when it's going to become an issue. And that's what we're seeing, at least Texas, Arizona, and Florida.
In California, I will say that it's on the outset, it looks like the Republican governors following Trump's lead just opened their economies too soon and are paying the price. But in California, opened up a little bit too, and now they're starting to, their corona cases going up.
Yeah, I got a friend that just went out there for the 4th of July, so prayers to him.
Yeah, I know. There's a couple of girls on my timeline saying they're in Miami now. I'm like, I would not go to Florida.
I didn't want to go to Florida pre-COVID. I definitely don't want to go now.
Exactly. But so Friday, okay, so the week before last, Abbott was saying, like, hey, you know, cases are rising. Basically, I need everybody to get together because, you know, but shutting down businesses again, it's going to be the last resort. So this past week, he started saying, like, yeah, you know, we're going to have to start I'm going to start having to change some things because this is not working out the way I thought it was. I said, yeah, he's going to start shut the stuff down again. And sure enough, come Friday, bars were shut down once again.
At noon, right? They closed at like 12 at noon, right?
Which I could just destroyed my brunch plans.
destroyed them. I thought that was just odd. I was like, 12 noon? Like,
yeah, I know.
Most bars don't open until 11.
Yeah, I know, right? Can you imagine me in a bar, you know, going to work at 11 o'clock and then you see the governor get on TV like, yeah, we're closed by 12. Like, wait, what? I just stayed home for this. But yeah, he shut bars down again. He started doing, you know, a series of interviews around Texas explaining his decision. And it was frustrating because I work in the service industry, so it was very frustrating for him to single out bars, although he's not wrong, you know. And the majority of bars did adhere to the guidelines of social distancing, making people wear masks, you know, have people sit down, but some weren't.
Four of them here in Austin weren't.
Yeah, exactly. TABC shut all that down. And a lot of people on my timeline who said they got sick because they went out. And the governor did an interview in El Paso and said that his one, if he could redo anything about the openings, it was opening the bars. So it looks like you might have a more energized Confucius the next week because I might be out of a job once again. But, you know, it goes back to what sucks about the biggest takeaway from all this for me is that outside of the obvious that we have to now live with the COVID virus, which we've been doing, is that the industry, especially in this city of Austin, the service industry and the music industry is going to take a long time to recover. I think people kind of had a little faith because, you know, bars were opening and things seemed to be going back to normal. But people were forgetting that it was going to come at a cost. And now that cost is about to be super, super high. Because normally when it comes to Fresh knows this too. When it comes to politics, most politicians really hold their head or hat over the economy. If the economy is good in any part, whatever district, state, city, country you're in, then normally you do well with your constituents. But if the economy is bad, that's when you start panicking. But the fact that now we're having Texas, which has the 11th best economy in the country, is having a shutdown again, yeah, that's a huge sign. So I think it's, unfortunately, Austin, the music scene here, yeah, it hadn't gotten as bad as we think.
I don't think the worst has hit, particularly Austin, yet.
Yeah.
But we've already seen venues close. We've seen bars closing. Artist-wise, is artists aren't performing, so artists aren't really getting paid unless they're doing like a live stream and you can virtually tip them. But yeah, if things have to shut down again like they did before, yeah, I think that's when we're going to see the worst. Because it's going to be a lot of people who didn't reopen when things started opening back up, like who still had to pay rent for the establishment, and now we're shutting down again. So now I think we're going to see a lot more establishments, venues, bars, completely just close their doors up. We're going to be closing up shop. It's going to really look like a ghost town here.
And that was, unfortunately, the cost of all of us. And I mean, we got to be honest, too. A lot of us wanted to go back to normalcy. Because that's just human nature. You want to go back to the things that allowed you to enjoy your life or go about your life unimpeded. And we paid the cost by pushing to be able to go back out and face Sixth Street to open back up. And now it's just, what's funny is that maybe had we just buckled down for a little bit longer, it wouldn't have been as bad. We probably could have had some things back sooner. But the fact that we, you know, kind of tried to rush back into it now, it seems like we might have a bigger problem than before. That sucks. You know, what, a month of us being able to go out and drink and stumble around Sixth Street drunk again is going to now cost us probably even longer. I was telling a friend of mine, I said, I'd be surprised if the bars open back up before, if the bars open up back up before the end of the summer, I'm start playing the lottery.
If that happens, I'm definitely going to find six numbers to play.
Exactly. And also, if they opened up before the end of this year, I'd be surprised. Because now they're able to pinpoint exactly where the problem is. They're like, yeah, right. Now. Before, I think they were kind of thinking like, oh, it won't be that bad if we just, you know, if everybody follows the guidelines. Like, yeah, now it's two, bars are two.
And I think before they were talking about like the Panhandle is where they had all the cases when we first started opening back up. But then, like, when things got to, like, what, phase three, then everybody was getting it, and it was all over the state. I think, yeah, like you said, not really able to pinpoint one particular region or one particular city or county that has all of these cases. Now it's multiple counties and multiple cities in this big, wide state of ours. Now, like, we got to adjust some things and change some things.
Yeah, you know, I will say I'm happy that they're not trying to, you know, blame it on the protest. Because I really thought they were. They're going to start to say these protests is causing all this. But
I'm kind of shocked that now that you say that, I hadn't thought of that. But now that you say it, I am kind of shocked that wasn't their scapegoat.
I was waiting. But although at the same time, once again, Hot Wheels always never ceases to amaze me. So I wouldn't be surprised if that, you know, let's say he shuts down everything again, and in 2 or 3 months when the cases drop, he's like, oh, never mind, we can go back to opening again.
And then the cases
rise right back up.
I definitely see him trying to do that.
But yeah, you know, it just sucks. And, you know, it's funny because when all this COVID thing was breaking out, I saw a few people saying like, hey, you know, the live shows are going to be gone for a while. But now it's really like, yeah, live shows are going to be gone.
Now live shows are going to probably be non-existent until I'm going to just say mid 2021. That's my prediction.
I say early 2021, if I have to be safe. And if, like, I think we're going to have South by next year. I don't think South by can afford to not happen next year. I think that about around that time we'll. But it'll, if COVID doesn't have a vaccine, or they figure out some way to kind of, like, curb it, I'd say before South by.
People but have to wear their masks.
I don't care what the big deal about not wearing. I mean, wearing a mask is not that bad. Now, granted, like,
just be honest. Only white people are complaining about wearing masks. I've only seen them complaining about it.
Yeah, facts.
Those out in Arizona and those in Florida. I've only seen them complaining about, you're not going to muzzle me like a dog. And I'm like, huh? What? Do you not know what a muzzle is for? It's not the same thing.
Like, my wife, she works her job. She has to wear a mask, but she's outside, so she can complain. Like, I'm in the sun, it's hot. But people that just like, oh, I don't want to wear my mask to the grocery store. Like, yo, you come on, stop. It's not that serious. Like, I hate wearing masks, but yeah, I'm not gonna wear one.
I saw one person. I don't remember where they were, but they were like their city council saying that comparing wearing their mask to Nazis making Jews wear stars. And I'm like, see, look, y'all are taking it way too far, bro. It's not that serious. Y'all are not being put in camps. Y'all not being tortured. Like, just wear the mask, bro. Just to curve it. Like, and I just find it funny that people who barely passed science class in high school arguing with people with degrees, and this is literally what their job is and what they study to do, is to figure out a way to curve this, and y'all have the nerve to argue with them. Like, just put the mask on and go about your day. It's not that big of an inconvenience. It's really not.
Yeah, it's not. Like I said, that's a new reality we live in. You know, this Black Mirror episode is annoying. We should go
Man.
Off.
Man, who produced this?
I'm saying, like, so, well, Black Mirror, they already had the interactive, you know, Choose Your Destiny episode. Now they got us living in actual reality, so. So, you'll be mad at me for this one. Tekashi finally got number one record.
I knew you were going to bring that up.
I say that to say, how important, in your opinion, do you think number one records really are? Granted, we've talked about it before, because we are Jay-Z fanatics over here. When Jay-Z said number one, it didn't matter anymore. We're like, yeah, I guess they don't. But, you know, from a, you know, musical expert side of things, do number one records still matter nowadays?
I really have tried to think about this, like, seeing him on my timeline and really trying to form an opinion on it. And I really... Like, I don't know. I look at number ones and record sales now like Grammys. They're nice to have, but it don't really mean you've shifted the culture. It doesn't really mean you're that important of a voice in the culture. It just means enough people stream this, or you have enough money to pay for those streams to get you a number one. And it doesn't really equate to how great you are of an artist. Just because you got a number one, or just because you land on Billboard, like, that's just how I'm looking at number one records now. Like, if you got one, great. I'm not ever going to take that away from you. That's a great accomplishment. But I don't think that speaks to your artistry or how important you are in music just because you now have a number one. And also, do it again.
Yeah.
If you just have one, that's great. But do it again. Continue to do it. Then I might make the argument that, all right, he might be great. Like, Mariah Carey has all these number ones, but she consistently gave us a number one song. She consistently sung
Mariah
number
Carey,
one
but
song.
What? Mariah Carey, but what? Ran the 90s? I agree. But
yeah, but I think that speaks to Mariah Carey's greatness. Like, if she just had one, then... All right, she just got one number one. It's a bunch of one-hit wonders.
Well, here's the kicker. Going back to Jay-Z, Jay-Z's first number one record in the country was Empire State of Mind on Blueprint 3. So, in my opinion, and I'm just kind of echoing the same thing you kind of just said, number ones aren't career-defining.
Yeah.
Like, you can, you know, there are artists, like you said, who have number ones, and that's all they ever have. Then you have some artists who never go number one, who have made great albums, who, you know, have gone on to have tremendous careers. And with Tekashi, I think for him... The reason why he was so happy in touting, you know, in campaigning to get number one is because of what he's been through. So, mm-hmm. From the empathetic side of me, I get it. Still don't like him. Still wish he'd go away. But I get why he was so excited about it. Because he's only ever going to have those stats. Tekashi's never going to put out a classic album. He's never going to have this long-lasting career that is, you know, we're going to talk about 20 years of saying, like, he changed the culture. And if we do talk about him changing the culture, it's going to be in a negative way.
I definitely understood it. Like, especially, like you said, what he's been through, getting out of prison, then the whole issue with Ariana Grande's song, Jumping Up, from number 5 to number 1, and he felt like he should have been number 1, and now he finally has that number 1 spot on Billboard. So I get it. Like I said, I'm not taking anything away from you. You got the number 1. Great. That's a great achievement. But as we both just said, it doesn't define your career. Like, that doesn't speak to your greatness or how great your artistry is. You got one. Great, man. Like, that's cool.
Because this is Nicki's second number 1, because she was on Say So with Doja Cat, which ironically, if you look at the Say So record, the remix with Nicki is not on the Billboard. The song itself is the one that's currently charting. The remix got the song number 1, but once it got to number 1, people just started streaming the original without Nicki.
It's kind of like that song Wiz Khalifa was on. That was on the Fast and Furious song.
I'll See You Again.
Fast and Furious soundtrack. It went number 1, but not the version with Wiz on it.
That's kind of racist. I'm right here on the radio down here. I'd be like, why did they take Wiz off? He's the biggest person on this song. They would play this version without him on it. I'm like, it's kind of racist. So Nicki, this is her second number 1 in the last few weeks. And people started talking about, you know, she's finally back. And, you know, this record for her, some record she broke.
Was that the conversation? I didn't see that at all. Well, I guess my timeline just finally quit caring about.
No, it's just like this is me going like searching for what people think about stuff like that. Because before, you know, we do the breaks, I always try to look for news,
right,
in different places outside of my timeline. Because like your timeline can give you, you know, an skewed vision of how things are supposed to be. But
mine had made no mention of Nicki Minaj.
Oh yeah, to be fair, mine didn't either. I had to go look for it. But Nicki is somebody else who lives in a world of stats. Rightfully so. Nicki is a very accomplished artist. Sold a lot of records, had a lot of number ones, broke a lot of records. But also, do you think that when artists constantly tout their stats, do you think it's because they know in their hearts that their music is not that good? Like, not that it's bad, just like they know, like, hey, you know what? I'm not going to make a Reasonable Doubt. I'm not going to make a Life After Death. I'm not going to make a Blueprint. I'm just happy that y'all like it enough to where people like Tess Show. Other people like me though.
I don't know. I don't know if they think that they won't ever have an album like a Blueprint, or they have an album as impactful as a Get Rich or Die Trying. But I think somebody like Nicki touts it. Like you said, when people try to come back against her, then she has something to pull out and say, look, I got the proof though. Look at the numbers that I did. Look at how many albums I sold, which once again is great, but that doesn't always speak to how great of an artist you are. Like, numbers can be made to say anything you want them to say, and that's just how I look at it. Like, Jay-Z came out and said, men lie, women lie, numbers don't lie, and I always kind of looked at that statement. It's like, no, numbers can say what you want them to say.
Yeah, they can, especially in the digital age. Currently, and people that just kind of got swept under the rug, Tidal's in a lawsuit in the Netherlands for manipulating their streaming numbers, and they admitted in court that when Life of Pablo came out on the platform, that it was so big that they didn't have the exact numbers, so they just made them up. They were like, oh, we just this is what we thought it was. But all the streaming services manipulate their numbers. You go on Tidal, and Jay-Z and Beyonce are ranked way higher than they are on Spotify. Also because Jay-Z and Beyonce openly hate Spotify.
True.
And I'm pretty sure Spotify's like, you know what? Your numbers don't need to be that good. And there are ways around things. You know, we've been hearing about for years record labels buying records to try to jack up sales. Famously, the one I remember was 50 and Kanye when they went at it with Graduation. Right. Before I Self-Destruct? Since the third album?
Curtis.
It was Curtis. You're right. Curtis. And that whole, you know, heads up September 11th thing. And everybody at that time thought there's no way that Kanye could beat 50 Cent, because at that time 50 Cent was one of the biggest hip hop artists in the world. And Kanye was getting there too. And Kanye ended up beating him. And in the subsequent interviews afterwards, 50 Cent was basically saying, like, well, you know, I just wish my record label, you know, Interscope at the time, would have started buying up albums just like Def Jam did for Kanye. They said, somebody else said, Birdman used to do the same thing for Cash Money.
Yeah.
Buy albums. I mean, numbers can be manipulated, which is why, you know, I think when Jay-Z said, like, you know, Billboard, we really looked at Billboard charts when we used to be having, now we don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. And I guess as an artist, a true artist would want the legacy more so than the stats, I would think. So that's just my opinion.
Yeah, like we said, man, it just doesn't define you as an artist. That doesn't define, those stats won't, like, how many times do we converse about music and we run and pull up how many albums somebody sold? Like, nobody cares at the end of the day. That's not what we debate. That don't mean the album was greater because it sold more.
Yeah. So that just goes, I think, for a lot of things in the music industry. You know, I've been very open about the fact that I don't care about the Grammys. Like, you know, the Grammys don't reflect the culture in the right way. And so I don't, you know, you go back and look at how many years were by hip hop artists, or, you know, song of the year. But so it's like, whatever. I'm not. Once again, Kendrick Lamar famously lost his first time with the Grammys to Macklemore. So whatever.
That's still hilarious to me.
Yeah, like, I know. But, you know, it is what it is.
Stick around for more after this quick break.
But now it's time for our first segment of the night, or of the day, Unpopular Opinion with Mr. Fresh himself.
All right. So we are in a, I keep saying a weird or strange time. And we're in a more, I'm going to start saying more conscious time. With that being said, internet blogger, I guess is what you can call it, dude, DJ Academics, made a statement where he called for more artists to put out more conscientious music, specifically rappers. And I kind of felt that was kind of lopsided, because kind of rap kind of always has been conscious and speaks to what is going on in this day and age, or more so music always has. But as I was listening to some of the most recent songs that were coming out from artists that were about the issues that are going on with police brutality and the protests and things of that nature, I kind of saw some R&B lacking in there. Like, I was kind of looking for the R&B artists to step up and give us that. Like, Lil Baby gave us a record. Anderson .Paak gave us one. Her gave us one. Conway of Griselda gave us one. So, but I was looking for more than just Anderson .Paak and her to speak to what's going on musically, just musically. I don't want to know their political thought. Don't want to know that. We've heard from too many people on their issues and their mindset. Don't want to hear that. Musically, just strictly musically, I would like something to reflect the time. And I found myself listening to older songs like Isley Brothers, Fight the Power, or Work to Do, or Gil Scott, anything by Gil Scott Heron. Or Stevie Wonder was big on it. Curtis Mayfield, Marvin Gaye probably has the two most relevant songs in the last 50 years with Inner City Blues and What's Going On. And when you look at that, and all those artists that I named, like, majority of them are R&B, or would be looked at as R&B artists. And now you look at today's time, and I've kind of been feeling that R&B lacks in that aspect of music. Both of us have been on this show, and we've touted that R&B is in a pretty good place. It's in a great place. It's a great R&B acts out right now, but I would like to hear musically their thoughts on things that are going on. And a lot of these artists are from cities where these major protests are happening. So, like, give us that. Like, we could, this generation, Gen Z, could use the next What's Going On. They could use the next Keep Pushing. They could use that. But I don't think we seem to really get that. Or if they give it to us, it doesn't hit like a What's Going On or Marvin Gaye's Trouble Man. Like, it's just not hitting or not connected. So my unpopular opinion is just R&B artists, like, y'all are lacking when it comes to the conscientious music for today. Alrighty, so let's get to the point of the show where we get a little bit wiser than we were a little while ago. Here is Confucius Says with Confucius Jones.
Yay. So last week, me and Fresh spoke about J. Cole's song, Snow on the Bluff, which allegedly had some shots at another Chicago, not another Chicago, because J. Cole's not from Chicago, but another artist, rapper, a female rapper named No Name. No Name responded with a record of her own. That wasn't even that long. It was like a minute. Was it a minute, 33 seconds?
Yeah, it was something like that.
But it was scathing. Oh, she went in on him, man. And she basically said the same things that we said. Like, you know, of all the times to drop a song, you drop a song trying to call out another activist? Like, no, horrible timing. And that's basically what her response was. So eventually she backdoored and apologized for putting out that song because she felt it was too distracting, once again, from the task at hand about, you know, Black Lives Matters and all the things going on in the world right now with the racial issues and police brutality. And so my Confucius Says is basically like, you know, once again, stop trying to silence Black women. What's sad is that anytime like a Black woman speaks up or says something that we feel is out of turn, the vitriol is so hard. For instance, Gayle King. When Kobe passed away, she did an interview with Lisa Leslie and mentioned, you know, Kobe's past rape allegations. People went on Gayle King like she just kicked Kobe's coffin over at his funeral. And everybody had opinions on it. You know, Snoop came out and said the stupidest thing I've ever heard him say. And this is Snoop Dogg we're talking about. To the point he had to go on Red Table Talk with Jada Pinkett Smith.
Yeah, he had to go do some PR cleanup.
And explain himself. And then with No Name, I saw people saying she shouldn't, talking about her diss record. Like saying like, oh, you know, they tried to put more emphasis on her distracting everybody else from what's going on than it was J. Cole. I'm forgetting the fact J. Cole originally was the one that dropped that song. Basically all my Confucius Says is just, be careful about how you try to approach somebody's opinion on something or stance on something, right? In terms of like, especially when it comes to women, because women, Black women especially, they have it bad enough to where when they try to say something, we all try to find a way to break it down, to make it more than what it is, or give them more of the blame on it. And so, but No Name's better than me because I wouldn't apologize. I'd say he shouldn't have said nothing to me in the first place.
Like me either.
He wouldn't have to get this work had he shut up. And so, you know, cases like that, now you're having to have her work double time to explain herself when she was already focused on doing other things. And also, No Name had to delete her Twitter because she posted a picture of Angela Davis speaking at a convention in 1978 behind bulletproof glass and said, wow, I wish people had the same love for Angela Davis that they do for Beyonce. And the Beehive took her down. I'm like, really?
Okay, I was trying to figure out what... I saw people talking about that on my timeline, and I was trying to figure out what she said about Beyonce.
Yeah, that's what she said. She said she wishes that, yeah. And I think she also mentioned the fact that sometimes Jay-Z's policies are steeped in capitalism, which is true. We talked about that on the show, too. Like, yes, Jay-Z's he's very
capitalist. Rich.
You don't become a billionaire by being super generous. But yeah, she made that tweet, and they took it down. So it's like, okay, once again, she, like I said, she didn't say Beyonce sucked. She just said she just wished Angela Davis was just as revered as Beyonce.
Which I think to that point proved her point that, like, she made that statement. I wish Angela Davis was just as revered as Beyonce was, and then the Beehive come for her and make her delete her Twitter. That's exactly the point she's saying. Like, why y'all don't have that same energy when for J. somebody Cole. Like it for an Angela Davis Beyonce? Not saying Beyonce is like, a bad person.
J. Cole's now able to ride off into the sunset, and people forgot the fact he put out that stupid song, and No Name is having to face all the backlash from a tweet and response to J. Cole. See, we got to be careful how we approach Black women, man. Like, just stop piling on to him because it's convenient. Gayle King asked a question about Kobe that Kobe himself talked about in every interview if you watch it. I was watching a documentary with Kobe, and he brought it up because it's part of his legacy, unfortunately. That don't mean he did it. It just means it's a part of his legacy. It happened. It's like Michael Jordan can't talk about his legacy without talking about the fact his father was killed when he was playing basketball. It sucks. That's just a part of your legacy. As a journalist, you have the right to ask that question. But the fact that she's a Black woman, you feel like it's easy to just pile on Black women because it's, just because it is, that's trash. And that is my Confucius Says.
That was a good one. I did see people like going at No Name and was like, man, all she got is a book club. And I was like, but that's not all she has. And that's not her only form of activism is a book club. This woman literally is out in Chicago on the front lines, and you are where you are, not doing anything. You on here talking about her. Like, come on, bro. Like, y'all gotta just, I don't know, man. Like you said, I think people look at what sometimes what Black women say, and they just openly think that that's they're the easier target, and they just start rapidly firing all the shots at them.
Yeah, that's sad.
So. But I think her point was, once again, it was proven. Like, I wish, like, the people, y'all, I've been seeing Angela Davis all over social media. All over social media.
Yeah, me too. I was like, what, did y'all just find out about her?
That's what I'm trying to figure. And I'm just like, did y'all, like, y'all just stumbled upon who Angela Davis was and what she went through? And, like, y'all swear y'all, everybody wanted to be a Panther, but, like, y'all,
no, they don't.
Y'all are just now finding out who this woman is. Like, y'all are just now having all of this admiration and revere for this woman who might is still alive.
Very much alive. It's funny you mentioned people want to be Panther. I said, if y'all can't handle no name tweeting about Beyonce and Angela Davis, y'all can never be a Panther.
Never. Like, like she's never still, be one. She's still living. I hate to say this, but I'd hate to see when the internet finally learns about Kathleen Cleaver. Like, y'all know she's still living too, right? Like, like y'all, like, yeah, I'm like,
the issues that we're talking about are not that far removed generationally. So these people, yeah, a lot of these people who fought for them back in the 60s and 70s are very much alive. They're very much still walking around here. So, yeah.
But, and talking about the same thing they were back then.
Exactly.
Like nothing, but, like.
It shouldn't take, though, just, it shouldn't take black women to get to a rightful age of 70 or 80 for us to be like, you know, we should respect them. You should respect them whenever they're 30s and 20s. Y'all revere Angela Davis now, but Angela Davis went through a lot. To be, so yeah, no, we're not doing that. It is what it is, though. But great show. This is The Breaks.
Yeah, this is The Breaks as always, man. So appreciate y'all tuning in. Shout out to all the brothers and sisters locked behind the wall.
Oh yeah, shout out to them.
Gotta shout out that demographic because they love us.
They love us, and every time y'all are out and see us, y'all always remind us that y'all heard us in prison. So shout out to y'all. Do your time at the time, do you?
Right, man, right. They can lock your body, they can't trap your mind.
There you go. All right, man, see you next week.
I'll see you next week.
The Breaks Podcast is a production of KTX 989, the Austin Music Experience. You can listen to The Breaks show live every Saturday night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. This podcast is produced by Confucius Jones, Fresh Knight, and Elizabeth McQueen. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter. We are at The Breaks KUTX, and you can find more episodes at KUTX.org/The Breaks.
Our theme music was written and performed by Austin's own DZ Brown.